The intersection of Christian faith and Christian living. This is Crosswalk with Gino Geraci.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm filling in for Gino Geraci here on Crosswalk today, and we are so glad you're with us. Hey, normally when we do this show, you know, Gino turns it open to all of you, says, hey, call in. Today we have a very, very special show. I have two gals here with me today, Sue Liljenberg and Camille, who are here. Sue started a ministry called Healing Hearts. Healinghearts.org is where it's at, and we're going to get to her in just a second, but let me just set the show up today for you, because what we want to spend our time talking about today is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what the gospel is and what the gospel is not, and how the gospel of Jesus Christ has power in our lives truly to set us free. And for so many people that would even understand the concepts of the gospel or to know what the gospel is, comparatively few, I find, have taken it at a deep level of ownership and had it rooted in their heart, where they truly cry out like William Wallace in the movie Braveheart, freedom! And once you've experienced that, it is hard to keep that contained to yourself. So let me just welcome Sue. Welcome to the program. Camille, welcome. Glad you guys
Thank
are here
you.
Today.
It's good to be here.
Sue, let me start with you. Just tell me a little bit about your ministry, how the gospel got a hold of your life, what Jesus has done first and foremost, and then tell our audience a little bit about the ministry that you do.
Well, Pastor Jeff, I had an abortion when I was 18 years old. And for 10 years after that abortion, I lived in a prison built with my own hands. It was sin upon sin upon sin. And my life was literally, I think, about as far down as it could go. And I had a friend at work that basically shared the gospel with me every single day. Something was related to the gospel and to the word of God. And finally, it took her a year to wear me down. But when God got a hold of me, it was truly a Damascus Road situation, because I was using drugs and alcohol to anesthetize myself from my pain. And just my life was not good. And that person intensely discipled me in the word. And God just did an amazing work in my life. And when, like you said, when you get set free, you can't not give back what you've been given. And so I just basically started telling people at the local crisis pregnancy center or whatever, you know, I've had an abortion. God set me free. I want to help other women. If you've got anybody that needs help, let me know. Well, that was 28 years ago. And now Healing Hearts is an international ministry with three Bible studies, working on a fourth. And we've got leaders all over the world. And I don't even know how we got here, except for it's all about Jesus. That's all I know.
That's exactly right. And Camille, tell me how you got connected to this ministry as well.
I was married, living with my husband in Kentucky, was a youth pastor, and I went down to a women's conference. I had an abortion in my past, even as a Christian young woman. I grew up in the church and raised to supposedly know better, but very little discipleship in my life, personal one-on-one. So got married with this young youth pastor and went to a women's conference with my church gals, and just happened to be walking around to one of the ministry booths, found the ministry's materials, really quickly realized that it was for post-abortion ministry, and quickly grabbed it, went to the bathroom because I didn't want anybody to see that I picked up some post-abortion materials, especially women from my church. Went in the bathroom stall. I'm sitting there reading through it and thinking, you know, is this one of those kind of ministries that's this kind of condemning to people who have sin in their past and struggles? And quickly read that it was a ministry by post-abortive people for post-abortive people, and that they had a Bible study. So I was all jumped all over that, and got the Bible study and sat down with God's word for the first time, really just one-on-one, even as a minister's wife, even as a church kid, beyond just the scripture memory of John 3:16, and really getting into God's word, seeing it has real answers for real people with their real problems. And Christ did a work in my life. My husband, as soon as I got done with the Bible study, said, "You are a different woman." And it was a healing that God's word promises that we can have in Christ.
Now, one thing when I listen to both of you, I mean, your stories are similar in many ways, and they're different in many ways.
Right.
I mean, Sue, you're far from the Lord when you experience your sin of abortion. And, you know, Camille, I mean, you're a Christian girl. You grew up in the church. I mean, that voice has to go off in your head. You know better.
Absolutely.
You know better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think sometimes when we think about the gospel, especially for those that grew up in the church or are believers, there's this misconception that, well, we never sin. We know better. We're walking with God. We've got it all figured out. And what I find is that you can be a saved person, know Jesus Christ to the full, and still have sin in your life.
Absolutely.
You can be a totally lost person trying to look for meaning somewhere else, mm-hmm. have sin in your life. At the end of the day, what Christ came to do is destroy the works of the devil.
That's
he came to set the captives free. That's what he did. And so, you know, regardless of the state, I want to talk just a little bit about the gospel. I mean, Sue, starting with you, I mean, you said you had a friend who was sharing the gospel with you every day for a year. What was she telling you?
Well, it was just different. She would use any avenue she could to minister the word of God to me. I would come in sometimes if I did come into work, because I missed a lot of work because I was hungover or drugged out. I would come into work and she'd say, hey, let's go to lunch, you know, let's go out and have some lunch. And I'm going, oh, no, I don't really want to go to lunch with that Jesus freak again. And, you know, and then one day, I mean, she would just gently say, you know, do you really feel like, you know, your life is pleasing to the Lord? And I'm like, well, what difference does it make? And, you know, and she'd say, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, and she would just use the right scripture that was appropriate for that situation in my life. And, you know, she kind of like, I started thinking like, wow, that's pretty amazing, you know, because she seems to like, it's kind of like Jesus and the woman at the well. Like, mm-hmm. this man must be a prophet because he knows me. That's kind of how I felt with this woman. It was almost like she had this inside track to my life. And I was starting to get a little freaked out about it. And right, like I said, after she got to a point to where I think her mercy and grace ran out, and I was in a really bad place because I'd kind of gone down even a further notch. And she was probably thinking, oh, I'm not even helping this woman. It's not working. I'm not doing any good. And one day she just let me have it. And she said, you know what, Sue? She said, your life is not pleasing to God. But she said, you know what's even sadder than that? Is that Jesus Christ died on a cross and he shed his very own mm-hmm. blood for all of your sins. And you don't even understand that. You need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that to me, it was like she could have hit me in the head with a sledgehammer
mm-hmm.
because out of everything else that she said was kind of a blur. But when she hit me directly with the gospel and I went, all of my sins? How could that be possible? I've killed my baby. I've been involved in the occult. I've abused drugs and alcohol. I've slept with married men. I've like, how could he possibly deal with all of that? But that got me to thinking. And it was shortly after that that I literally surrendered completely my life to the Lord. But she just knew how to minister to those broken places in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't stop. It was like sometimes we think we got to just get people saved, and that's the answer. Well, you know, that's just the beginning.
Amen.
She didn't stop. She continued to exhort me and love me and walk with me, hold me accountable. And I really owe my life today and this ministry to this precious young woman who went on to be a wife and a mother of six children and never really did have a ministry, but she brought me into the kingdom. And she said to me once, I never realized when I shared the gospel with you what God was going to do with your life.
Yeah, you know, your story is filled with power. I mean, in a number of ways, because I know we have a lot of listeners that are on I-25 or C-470 or I-70 today listening to us or somewhere at home. And, you know, as they're driving, they would say, as they're listening to this, there's no way God could love me. I mean, mm-hmm. church is not for me. The gospel is not for me. That's for religious people. And that's the big misnomer about the gospel. Right. The gospel is Jesus Christ mm-hmm. died for you.
Absolutely.
That no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I mean, name the sin. No matter how
that's
great
right.
it is, his grace mm-hmm. is greater
that's
than
right.
that.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, when we were talking on the phone, Sue, the other day, I got excited because I knew the show was going to be fantastic, not only because of the amount of people that have been impacted by the very thing you minister to, which is the sin of abortion and the pain that comes with that, but also so many people that are listening that would say, God is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is God demonstrated his own love for each one of us in that mm-hmm. while
right.
we were still sinners,
right.
Christ
Absolutely.
Died for us. And the good news is not, hey, get your life together, clean up your act, be good, try to make your good outweigh your bad. If it outweighs your bad, then maybe, maybe, maybe God will accept you someday. The good news is, much like the story of the prodigal son, in all your sin, in who you are, as far away as you are from God, when you turn to come back to the Father, he runs out, he embraces you, absolutely, he's there for you. So that's what we want this show to be about today. We want you to be able to call in to talk to Sue, talk to Camille, talk to myself, and we're going to open up the phone lines right after this break. Our local number is 303-873-1935. Again, 303-873-1935. Or if you're calling from outside the area, 888-277-8946. Again, 888-277-8946. This is Pastor Jeff filling in for Gino Geraci today on Crosswalk. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff filling in for Gino Geraci, who is in the Holy Land right now. And we welcome your calls. As you just heard, the number again, 303-873-1935, or outside the area, 888-277-8946. On the show today was Sue and Camille talking about the gospel, talking about how God heals. And Camille, I want to go back to you because before we went to break, you talked about your story. Here you are. You're a youth pastor's wife.
Right.
You grew up in the church.
Right.
You know right from wrong.
Right.
You got pregnant. You had an abortion, and you were dealing with all sorts of emotion, guilt, and you're at a conference. You see a brochure. You go into the bathroom to hide so you can read it,
right,
and God begins to do a work in your life. Tell us a little more about what happened.
Oh, goodness. Just going through that Bible study and really understanding. I grew up. I knew grace. I knew forgiveness. So I wasn't necessarily living under the condemnation of my abortion, but the fear of what other Christians were going to think of me and judging me. And I remember going through the Bible study and just it talks about guilt and shame and, you know, conviction versus guilt and just the healing that God's word did in my heart. And man, it gave me a hunger for God's word. Like, wow, it's so powerful and it's so freeing. And there are other people that need God's word to be healed. So I even remember going to talk to my pastor and his wife the first time we wanted to present the ministry of the church. I was like, man, they're going to hate me. When they find out my story, my testimony, and what I've done, they're going to hate me. And, you know, it wasn't true. That was a lie from the enemy. And, you know, there are people that will judge based on some misunderstandings of Scripture and what grace is all about and that we're saved by grace and we're kept by grace. But you know what? They loved me with open arms. And every time I've been fearful that a Christian was going to judge and condemn me in my own local body, they really loved me and embraced me with the love of Christ, because that's what Christ is. He's real love and real grace.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things too. I mean, in church, that even when we know we're saved, until we've really been set free, there is fear. The enemy uses fear, mm-hmm, to keep us from really being known.
Right.
I mean, to really be authentic. I mean, here you guys telling your sins and just listing them here on the air. It's no big deal, right?
No.
You know they're covered under the blood of Jesus Christ,
absolutely.
So it's no big deal.
That's right.
And but until you get to that place, and Sue, you had mentioned something earlier. You said there's a let me see if I said it the right way, and you can correct me if I said it a little different. There's a big difference between forgiveness in healing.
Absolutely.
So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I hear it all the time, you know, when I'll be in a room and women will be talking and they hear what I do and everything. And I can always tell some women that are post-abortive, it's like, well, I know God's forgiven me. And my response to that is, if you're a Christian, yeah, you're absolutely forgiven, but that doesn't mean you're healed, you know, because it took a year of studying God's word to break up my hard heart and all the walls that I had erected around myself. And then when the word broke all that up, that's when the Holy Spirit came in with the word and started doing the healing process. And so it was a good year or more after I became a Christian. And I'm talking Damascus Road experience. I never touched alcohol or drugs after I got saved. I did a 180 degree turn. I was in church every time the doors were open. Mm-hmm. I was on fire for the Lord. I was telling everybody about Jesus. But you know what? I was still a mess on the inside and I was broken. I mean, I was on fire for the Lord. And the Lord, in his love and his mercy and his kindness, prepared me. That year of discipleship that I had in the Word was preparation, because he knew when I faced my sin, the heartbreak that was going to be there. And so in his love and compassion and mercy, he blanketed me in his word. And he ministered to me in a way that when I came face to face with my sin, I was able to walk through it and work through it with another person who discipled me. And that's when he healed me. Because see, I not only did I have all those past sins to deal with, but I've never been able to have a child after my abortion. Mm. So I had to face the fact that I took the life of the only child I would ever conceive. And so there was other healing that had to happen even after I dealt with the abortion that was really important. And so God is just amazing. And we just need to trust him. We need to, you know, I think as I was preparing for this radio program and after I had talked to you the other day, it was kind of like the Lord showed me. It's kind of heartbreaking. It's like I think a lot of Christians are eating the scraps from the king's table. Mm-hmm. Rather than dining with the king.
Amen.
Right.
And that's sad.
It is. And, you know, you guys describe it. Now, today we're talking about your ministry at healinghearts.org. Would encourage our listeners to go there and experience that. But, you know, as we've been talking about throughout the show and throughout the break, that, you know, abortion is a sin.
Right.
Right? I mean,
right.
We could talk about any number of sins, and it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we sin and we experience the consequences of sin, whatever those may be, even after we're saved, even after we're forgiven, mm-hmm. the enemy can still use patterns in our life to beat us down, to hold us down. I mean, you've mentioned some of them of fear,
right.
Fear of what other people are going to think. I mean,
right.
Here you're the youth pastor's wife, and you're afraid to be authentic in your church because what if somebody else doesn't accept me?
Right,
right.
And so it's learning that your acceptance comes from the Lord. I just taught
right.
on the prodigal son this last mm-hmm. weekend. You know, you see the son come home from living with the pigs and all of his mm-hmm. stench. And he doesn't make it home because his dad's sprinting towards
That's
him
right.
and loving him in all of his stink and accepting him and throwing a banquet for him and giving him the place of honor and a ring of authority
Absolutely,
and sandals.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes even when we come home, we think we come home as slave. We think we come home mm-hmm. as less than rather than coming home as son or daughter mm-hmm. of the Most High God.
Right.
One thing I was going to ask both of you is because of your experience with the sin you had and having done some counseling with this, what are names that the enemy calls you in your heart? After you have a sin like that, that helped, where he tries to get you to believe a false identity about yourself.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I could, I feel like, you know, I mean, I don't know how blunt to be, but, I mean, I really remember, especially after being, in a godly marriage. I mean, my husband was sexually pure when we got married and, you know, God really had done a work in my heart. But even after that, I mean, the enemy just continued to plague me with saying, you know, you're like a whore and you're a prostitute
yeah, a harlot.
And
mm-hmm.
a harlot. And a lot of women with sexual sin in their past, they hear that all the time. And God calls us his beloved. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to really, you know, but if you're not in the word and you don't see that he rejoices over us with singing and, you know, just how his love for us, that he is a for you God. He is for us. And that we're created in his image and, you know, that Christ came to put his image in our hearts.
So. Yeah, amen. You know, the other word I've heard several times in counseling people is the word murderer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you heard that mm-hmm. word or killer
yeah.
or something like this.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of our sins, Satan will always come in and give us a false picture of who we are in Christ.
Right.
And
Absolutely.
Who we are in Christ, like you said, we're his beloved, we're his son, we're his daughter. He loves us. And when we own that,
right.
when his word is taken over in our hearts,
right.
and we love it, it's hard to contain, not just in terms of telling others, but in terms of living out the joy that he has for us. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm filling in for Gino Geraci here on Crosswalk today. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call into our show. You can talk to me, Sue, or Camille. The number is 303-873-1935. Or if you're calling outside the area, 888-277-8946. We'll be right back to Crosswalk in just a moment. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff filling in for Gino Geraci, and I would agree with the bumper. He is one of the nicest guys you could ever talk to. He is not here today. He is in Israel. Welcome back to the program. Our number here, 303-873-1935, and outside the area, 888-277-8946. In the studio with Sue and Camille today, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about God's healing power. Camille, I just want to go to you because at the break, we were talking just a little bit about your story. And I want our listeners to hear this because, I mean, you have a story that's very unique, very powerful. I mean, it hurts my heart just to hear you tell it, but I think our listeners need to hear what happened? Like, how does a girl who grows up in the church that knows about God's love from the time she's 12 have an abortion? Because I know it when you're 12, you said that would never happen to me, right?
Right.
So how does this happen?
Right. Well, you know, growing up in the church, you always hear, don't have sex, don't have sex, don't have sex, don't have sex till you're married. And, you know, when you grow up and you're boy crazy, I was boy crazy from the time I was little, you know, really seeking after those relationships. So by the time I got to high school, certainly found those kind of relationships and, you know, gave into to the pressure to be sexually intimate and just as quickly got pregnant. I was 15, almost 16 by the time I got pregnant. And, you know, my parents who were Christians came to me and they said, you know, do you want to have an abortion? And I was kind of shocked, you know, and, you know, not that, you know, we kind of differentiate like, oh, sexual sin is bad, but abortion is really bad. And, you know, that's kind of the mentality I had in my heart. And so I told my mom, I said, no, you know, I want to keep this baby. And they said, well, we'll support you. So they did. And, you know, I was kind of one of those statistics. I really talk about labels and what the enemy throws at you. You're just one of those statistics. You became one of those girls. And because the baby's father had long gone, didn't want anything to do with us. But I was still really searching for that relationship, not knowing that what I was really wanting was a relationship I already had with Christ, just growing in that. And so I found another relationship, and we became sexually active very quickly and just as quickly became pregnant again. And, you know, we didn't know what we were going to do. My parents found out again. They were, again, approaching the subject of abortion, and we didn't know what to do. So we decided, hey, we're going to get engaged. You know, we'll see what it goes, you know, how it goes from here. And we never really kind of got to wrestle through that because the young man who was my, you know, fiance at that time, he ended up one night while he was watching my daughter, I was at work, and he ended up sexually assaulting and shaking her to death to where she was legally brain dead. And here I am pregnant now with his child, and it rocked my world. It rocked my theology. I didn't have the doctrine that I needed growing up saying, you know, who is this God? What is he doing in my life? You know, he's supposed to love me, but what's going on? And I just rationalized. My parents again came to me and they said, you know, you don't have a choice now. You've got to have this abortion. So 4 days after we bury my daughter, they're flying me off to a different city because it's shameful, right? Nobody wants, my parents didn't want anybody to find out. So fly to a different city where I had my abortion. And that's when my life just began to downward spiral, even as a Christian. Just really trying to make sense of it all. And who is my God? And why has this happened to me? And why would he allow this to happen to my daughter? And so at the time I came to the Bible study, I had a lot of other complicating issues. There were a lot of different areas of sin in my heart. And what I love about the Bible study is it didn't just address my abortion, it addressed the pain in my life, the hurt that had led up to that abortion. And, you know, being able to forgive the young man who murdered my daughter, you know, God really brought me through. One of the passages in our Bible study that really meant a lot to me was going through Matthew 18 about the unforgiving servant. And I knew that God had forgiven me of my sin of abortion. So certainly need to extend that same forgiveness in Christ to the young man who had sexually assaulted and murdered my daughter. So God is good and he's gracious.
Yeah, we were talking, I mean, this was on your daughter's 1-year-old birthday, if
that's
I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's
is that right?
Right.
And, you know, I can only imagine, I mean, the pain
right.
that you were experiencing, that you were going through. I mean, when we come back from break, one of the things I want to talk about is this, where you start. I know you start in Genesis. I know you start at the tree. I know you start with the infestation of sin into humankind and where that starts and lead us all the way to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this gospel because I know there's a lot of people listening today. They may not have struggled with the exact same sins that we're addressing, but sin is sin. It separates us from our Father. It causes guilt, shame, and pain. Jesus Christ came to provide a solution
That's
for that.
Right.
And anybody who's listening today, I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ is the hope. He's the answer you're looking for. He's the God of the universe. And regardless of where you've been, he loves you. Please call into our show, 303-873-1935, or outside the area, 888-277-8946. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel here in Denver, filling in today for Gino Geraci on Crosswalk. We'll be back right after this message. Welcome back to Crosswalk today. I'm Jeff Swarzentrop, senior pastor at Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in today for Gino Geraci, who is in Israel. We've been having a great show today with Sue Liljenberg. This is hard to say, Swarzentrop. And Camille here have been sharing their stories about how through their experience, I mean, of having an abortion, how God radically got a hold of their life. And one of the things you guys have been referencing is God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word is primary. God's Word has the ability to penetrate the heart down to places that no one else can get to. And there's healing power in His Word. You've been talking about on your website at healinghearts.org. There are places to go to get Bible studies to help with this specific sin and to find healing and hope in it. I want to ask you, who's it for? Is it just for women?
No.
Can men go there? I mean, what are we going to find when we get there? What, tell us about some of these discipleship studies.
We have our women's post-abortion study is called Binding Up the Brokenhearted. And obviously it's for women who have had abortions. Our Wounded Warrior study is the post-abortion study for men. And actually, it's interesting. We don't have a sequel to that study yet, but we're working on it. And a lot of men will call up and say, I haven't had an abortion, but I have other issues. Can I go through the Bible study anyway? And our counselor, Alan, is amazing. He goes, absolutely. Just you know, go through it and apply what is applicable. And God does amazing things, even though these men aren't post-abortive. Some of them have had sexual abuse pasts and whatever. And there's not a lot of ministry out there for men in this area. And so we have a burden as a ministry to someday provide more materials there. The other Bible study, the third one, is the hem of his garment. And that's kind of like the sequel to my abortion story in that the remainder of the healing that God had to do and my call from God to reach out to women who have not had abortions because there's so many other issues. And when they sign up to do those Bible studies on our website, we pair them up with a counselor who has gone through that very Bible study, who has been biblically trained, who has compassion and mercy and love, understands where you're coming from, to walk you through, to pray with you. It's semi-interactive in that you do your homework, you can post notes to your counselor, she knows you've posted, she'll post her notes, get back to you, and it can be a really intimate relationship with that counselor, and it's powerful. It does amazing things.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let's talk about the men for a second, okay? Because I think when we're talking about this, it's like, oh, this is a show for women. But, you know, it's interesting because even some of the stories in the Bible, like the woman at the well, you know, who has had five husbands and the man she's living with is now not her husband. She's by herself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But a man's been responsible. A man's been has sin issues in that problem too. The woman that was caught in adultery, where's the man? How come he wasn't dragged forth? I mean, obviously it takes two to tango, right?
Absolutely.
So some of these guys, and I know we were talking before too, that, sometimes when they get a woman pregnant and they don't have the responsibility to be the man that they need to be, and they shouldn't have been engaging in sex in the first place unless they were willing to put a ring on the woman's finger and be married to her. And so they have no responsibility and they bail, or they give money to a woman to go have an abortion. And then years pass and they move on with their life and they get married. But I mean, there's consequences for sin that still nag and linger. So can you speak to the men for a second?
Even the man who says, honey, I will support you in whatever you decide. That's a cop-out. It really is. And men are drastically injured by abortion. Some of them don't even understand. One of the common thread emotions that we see from men who are post-abortive is anger and impatience. In other words, like they sometimes have fathering issues. They have guilt issues. They have, well, you know, there's marital issues that are involved in that. And even our counselor that does the online counseling, he said it's absolutely amazing. He's post-abortive, so he understands all those issues. But he said the depth of the pain that he sees in the men that come through the study, he said, even shocks him. And he's a man and he's been there. But he said the depth of some of these men and their pain, you know, like, I mean, an example of, you know, a businessman who, you know, never had a whole lot of relationships, but got involved with a woman and knew he shouldn't, got her pregnant. She didn't want the baby. She went and had it, abortion. He didn't even know about it or whatever. You know, I mean, some men are dealing with, this could be my only child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some guys that, you know, we mentioned a lot of different categories that people find themselves in this situation. men who were post-abortive, but some of them actually wanted to keep their girlfriends right. or their wives to keep their baby. But because we live in a country that says it's only a woman's choice,
right.
they don't have a choice. And they're so devastated because it's their baby. And so the first time I ever shared my testimony in my church, it wasn't a whole lot of women that came up to me. It was two men that came up and said, you know, I am mm-hmm. so hurting because I felt like I didn't have a choice in right. this.
Well, let's be politically incorrect for a second, because I'm very comfortable with that. All abortion's sin. I mean, right. it's murder. We know that. Right. I mean, the Bible would call it that. And I can tell you guys that, and you've experienced that right. sin, and you know it. And so let's talk about that. Whose choice is it? And what should women do? Because we have some women that are listening to the program today who are pregnant, who are wrestling with whether they should keep their child. Some are married. Some are not married. Mm-hmm. Guys that have gotten their wives or their girlfriends pregnant, they're kind of debating whether they should. What would you say to them?
I would say every baby is a divine gift from God. And there's no accidents. We might think there's accidents, but I don't believe there are any accidents.
God's not surprised.
He's not surprised.
He's sovereign.
And if you, no matter how hard it is, I can sit here right now and tell you that I took the life of my only child. We don't always get to choose how many children we can have. And if I could go back and do it over again, I don't care how hard it was. The thing that kept ringing in my head, which is what they told me at the Planned Parenthood Clinic, was you don't want to be, you're young, you're intelligent, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You don't want to be on welfare the rest of your life. And what man is going to want to marry a woman with a child?
Yeah, we're going to come right back because we need to continue this conversation, because I think in our culture, there's so many lies that get pervaded when it comes to this that, you know, just out of desperation or timing or we got to do something here, there can be poor choices that are made. There's healing for that. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
But there's also preventive measures, too. I want to talk about that, too. This is Jeff Schwarzentraub filling in for Gino Geraci today on Crosswalk. Love you to call into our program today. Number's 303-873-1935 or 1-888-277-8946. We'd love you to join us on the show. We'll be right back in just a moment. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff, Senior Pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, and filling in for Gino Geraci today. Again, the number here, 303-873-1935 or 888-277-8946. It's been a fantastic program so far. Sue and Camille are here on the program with me. Lisa has been holding. Lisa, you are on the line. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to tell you, I had an experience with Planned Parenthood, too. When I was 18, I had sex for the very first time, and I got pregnant and had an abortion. And it was devastating to me the way they treated me there. They didn't ask me any questions. They just went ahead and did it. I suffered from depression after that for years and years and didn't put the two together at all. After I got married and got pregnant with my first child, I went to Planned Parenthood because a friend of mine worked there just to get my test. And what they knew, I wanted to keep my baby, and they tried to talk me out of having my baby when I was married.
Wow.
And, of course, I didn't have that abortion and went on and had two lovely children, and they're wonderful, wonderful people. But I'm just so sickened at what's going on with Planned Parenthood now. And I also want to thank these ladies for their testimony. I think it's incredibly helpful to know that God is so gracious and does forgive, and all those lies of the enemy are that. They're just lies.
Couldn't have been said any better. Lisa, thanks for calling into the program today. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You know, we were talking on the show yesterday how righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And, you know, this issue of abortion, it's not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue.
That's
children,
right.
children are a blessing.
That's right.
From the Lord. And, we were talking before we went to the break about, you know, what to do in the event that, hey, pro-life for me is not a political issue, and it's not an issue to not have an abortion. It is an issue. We believe that every life is sacred and is
That's
of
right.
the Lord. And it's more than just not having an abortion. It's how do you experience life? And what do you do for a mother and a father, for someone who has and unexpected from their perspective. Like you said before, Sue, there's no surprises to God, but was a surprise to them. What do we do? Where do you go? Where do you get the help that you need? Because one thing we've been talking about is the Word of God as being primary for everything. How important are caring people in the process of seeing you through this?
Absolutely important. We took a young girl in our home, was 19, and she got pregnant. And basically, I led her to the Lord. I discipled her. We took her into our home. She had her baby. She lived with us for a year, and then she was able to get out on her own and be a mom and be a provider, and it was amazing, and that's what we need to be doing.
We absolutely do. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm filling in for Gino Geraci today on Crosswalk. My guests are Sue and Camille from HealingHearts.org, sharing their story, talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ who can heal. We would love to hear from you. 303-873-1935, or if you're outside the area, 888-277-8946. We'll be back at the top of the hour. Welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel here in the studio today, filling in for Gino Geraci, who is in Israel, who'll be back soon. Here on the program with me today is Sue Liljenberg and her friend Camille, both from HealingHearts.org. We're talking about the healing that can come even through the sin and the pain of abortion. If you'd like to talk to us, please call us, 303-873-1935. Again, 303-873-1935, outside the area, 888-277-8946. Yeah, we were talking, you know, when we went to the break, we've just been talking about healing. I mean, that's the power of Jesus. This whole idea that Jesus said, and when you say disciples, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And in verse 36 of John 8, it says, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now, both of you, when you talk about your experience, you know, at different experiences, coming from different backgrounds, having different conversion experiences, but when you met the Lord, you talked about the importance of the Word. I want to talk to you about the importance of the people in your life who ministered the Word. Because I think sometimes when people are broken, sometimes when people are down, it's just like, hey, why don't you just take the Bible? I mean, this is the Word. This is the Word of God. Just to be obedient to it. I mean, can you comment on that, Camille? What would that have been like for you in your place of brokenness? Because the Word of God is the answer. There's no question about that.
Well, absolutely.
Why not just take the Word? Just give people a Bible when they're hurt like this.
Yeah, well, they need help. They need somebody to come alongside them and disciple them and show them places in the Word that are speaking to their particular heart situation. I mean, you know, some of the good historical text is not really going to help, at least for the area of, you know, struggling with a sexual sin. So, you know, they really need to be taken to those pointed places in Scripture. And it's like telling somebody, here's some medicine, read the instructions, you know, apply it yourself. And, well, a lot of people don't even know how to apply God's Word.
Right.
And so they need somebody who's mature, who's been walking with the Lord to help them in their walk. That's what making disciples is all about. That's what Christ told us to do, is make disciples. And they need to know the truth and have somebody help them apply the truth before they can walk in the truth.
One example that I like to use is, Pastor Jeff, I hear you need a triple bypass surgery. I've got a really good scalpel in my purse. I'll give it to you and let me know when you're done. See how that goes for you. How does that work for you?
Yeah.
You know, seriously, because we're talking, God's word is a balm. It's a balm of Gilead. It's a spiritual medicine that when it's applied appropriately to the right wound, it is miraculous what happens. You can hurt people with the word.
That's right.
You can abuse people with the word, but you can apply that balm of Gilead to somebody's wound and see miracles happen. And that's why you need people. That's why you need somebody to come alongside you and walk with you, and pray with you, cry with you, hold you, understand where you've been and where you've going, because that's Jesus with skin on.
Well, and Christ said that, you know, in the New Testament, it says that we will comfort others. You know, he's the God of all comfort. But he comforts us so that we can be able to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. So there's benefit in having received that comfort to being able to share that with others.
Well, I want to ask you guys this, because I'm a pastor. And so I want to ask you about, where does the church play a role in this? Because what I find is, and people will say stuff to me like this, Jeff, I'd rather go to a bar than to a church, because at least at a bar I could be authentic with people and I wouldn't be judged. And so there's this feeling, and you mentioned some of them earlier, Camille, just the fear. I mean, you're a youth pastor's wife. How are you going to tell your congregation what's going on in your life? And you know, Sue, of pastors that have dealt with this in their own life that say, I'll never tell my congregation this. There's no way. And there's this understanding that we're forgiven, but we're not healed. Because when there's healing, there's total freedom of not that we air our dirty laundry, not that we go around airing our whole past, but at the end of the day, if you find out who I was, I don't care. That's covered by the blood of Jesus, right?
That's right.
So where does the church play a role in the healing process for sinners?
I think body life is so important. I mean, you know, the word tells us over and over again that we need different members of the body for different things. So we have to come alongside one another and be transparent. One of my favorite passages is James 5:16 that talks about how we need to confess our sins one to another so that we can pray for each other and be healed. So God's word says that even in that confession to one another as believers in Christ, there's healing in that and there's freedom in that, living in the transparency of our struggles, that we can come alongside each other and bear with one another like scripture tells us to.
I think there's three critical components to the sanctification process, and I don't think you can eliminate any of them and have it work out right. One of them is, it's absolutely critical that you hear the preaching of the word.
That's right.
The next component is, it's absolutely critical that you have the personal, intimate relationship with God, which is your personal time with God and your time studying the word. And then my brain just went blank. And the third one is...
with other people, right?
Well, yeah, right. In other words, like, it's kind of like a three-legged stool. You take one of those legs out and something's not right. You know, you can go to church every Sunday faithfully, but if you don't have the relationship and the intimacy, you know, it's not going to come together.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening in the church today. You know, we've become hearers of the word. We're not doers of the word. You know, we've become Sunday Christians. And I mean, a lot of us are doing a lot of stuff, but we're not really having an intimate walk with God that's vibrant, that's flowing, that's, you know, like when you deal with all your junk, then the Holy Spirit comes in and pours out. I mean, you can't keep it from pouring out. When you're healed and God has touched the depths of your heart, it's like it pours out. You couldn't contain it. It's like shaking up a bottle of Coke and trying to hold your thumb over the lid. You cannot contain it. If you're not living your life like that, then you are not healed.
It was like Jesus said, if you're rightly related to me, streams of living water will flow from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's like putting your thumb over a shaken up bottle of Pepsi. I mean, that's the picture that you get, is it can't be contained. And, you know, when it comes to a pastor making a charge, hey, go out and witness, go out and share the gospel. Hey, serve the Lord with gladness, you know, find where your gift is and help others out. Or, hey, let's walk together and doing all this. When we're set free, those things are so natural. We're
That's
not asking somebody to do something they wouldn't want to do.
Right.
When they're not, when a person is not set free, all those things feel like a chore. Like, oh, I've got to start a Bible study.
Right.
Oh, I've got to do this. There's so much work. Mm-hmm. Church is making me do all this stuff. And to me, that's always a trigger that person's not set free.
Right.
Because when someone's set free, where else would you rather be than to be under the word of God being taught it? Where else would you rather be than have your own time with the Lord where he's personally speaking and ministering to you? Where else would you rather be than among a group of people where
that's
know that you're loved no matter what you say?
Absolutely.
And that people are going to not just leave you there, but exhort you and reprove you and challenge you to be who God wants you to be.
That's
and so, you know, as you guys are even talking, and Sue, you and I had a chance to talk on the phone here a couple days ago. You know, I could hear your freedom coming through the phone. Like, this isn't a task for you. Starting healinghearts.org was not a, I got to do this or God's not going to be pleased with me. I guess I got to start the internet because that's where people go. It was, this is my heart. How can I not help men and women who are post-abortive, who are dealing with the guilt and shame in their sin so that Jesus Christ can set them free? And the one that Jesus Christ sets free is
free indeed,
right? So we're going to come back in the show. One thing I want to talk about specifically is I want you to tell us the gospel. I mean, just plain and simple. When our listeners are listening, what is this good news? How can I own it? talked about application. How do I apply that? We're going to let you talk about that when we come back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff filling in today for Gino Geraci on Crosswalk. We'd love to hear from you. The local number is 303-873-1935. If you're calling from outside the area, it is 888-277-8946. We'll be right back in just a moment. Welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff, Senior Pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci today. And I have in the studio with me Sue Liljenberg and Camille, who are with HealingHearts.org. And as we went into the break, I mean, we've been talking about the gospel. We've been talking about Jesus Christ setting us free from the penalty of the power of sin. We've been talking about the joy that we can have regardless of who we are, what our past has been, whether we're a man, a woman, boy or girl. But what is it? I mean, we use a lot of churchy language sometimes. Right. We'll use language like the gospel, the blood of Jesus, the cross. What the heck does any of that stuff mean? I mean, Camille, can you tell us, like, because we have listeners listening today that are desperate. They're listening to this saying, I wish I could have the joy you have.
Right.
Wish I could experience the freedom you have. But I'm not a religious person like you, Camille. What is the gospel? Tell our listeners.
Well, you know, I always say when I'm talking to people about the gospel, you know, it means good news. But good news is only really good news if you know that there's actually some bad news first.
That's exactly right.
And the bad news is that even though God created us and he created us perfect and in his image in Genesis, man made a choice. And Adam and Eve chose to sin and rebel against God and his perfect provision for them. And, you know, through that, sin entered the world. And so, well, what's sin? Well, sin is anything that goes against God's design and his desire, his will for us. And really understanding that God's design, his will for us is for protection and for purpose, for our good. And that's what we rebelled against. We just said we'd rather do our own thing. And all of us struggle with sin. And I just love even my own pastor talks about how, you know what, we may have economy problems in this day and age. We've got abortion. We've got kids that are, you know, committing suicide and hurting each other and all these kind of things. But our biggest problem is sin. And we all struggle with that because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It means none of us have met his perfect standard. So the good news is that God, even though we deserve to be left in our sin and our depravity, our muck in our own hearts, that God loves us and he pursued us. Even in the garden, if you look in Genesis, he went looking for Adam and Eve.
He absolutely did.
And it was out of mercy and love, not to punish them, but to bring them hope and to show them this picture of the gospel we were talking about. So the good news is that God actually sacrificed himself. He sent his own son to die for us. And the Bible says in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that floors me. Is like, we didn't do anything. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. When you know, people talk about grace and you don't understand what grace means, it's God's unearned favor. And because he is love. And people say, well, how can this loving God and how did he let all this sin into the world? Well, you know, God is love. And it's not just something he does, it's who he is. And because of that, because of his own nature, he sent his son. And I don't know how many of us would send our own children, our only child, to die for our enemies. And, you know, when we rebelled against God, we became his enemies. That's the bad news. But the good news is that he sent his own son to be that perfect sacrifice to do what we can't. So many people try to earn God's favor, get him back to, hey, if I do enough good things, it'll offset my abortion, it'll offset my sexual sin or, you know, my stealing, my lying, whatever. And it's never going to be good enough. That's not falling short.
It's like being in a hole. And the more you try to climb, the deeper you fall into the hole. I mean, there's nothing you can do. I mean, the gospel is for those who are desperate. The gospel is those who realize that God is not just love. I mean, God is holy.
That's right.
And so even, you know, in our false idea, God definitely is love, but he's holy. And
that's
so when it comes to, well, if he's so loving, then he's just going to take everybody to heaven, and because that's just what a loving God would do. But the challenge is God is a holy and righteous God too.
Right.
And God cannot bring sinners in and embrace them, or he's not fair. He's not just.
He's just. Right.
He's not just. Mm-hmm. He's got to punish sin. I mean,
that's right.
There's no judge worth a salt that would let a murderer walk scot-free
that's
just
right.
because he said, you know what, I kind of like you. And I that's love right. you. So just go and do it again.
That's right.
That's not fair. That's not a good judge. No. And God's a good judge.
That's right.
And so what he did, like you said, he sent his son Jesus in our place.
That's right.
God made him who was no sin to become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as you go through the New Testament and you're seeing these stories of who Jesus came into contact with, people in sexual sin, people that were white collar criminals, people that were soldiers, people that were desperate with medical conditions that are grabbing out to the hem of his garment. What were they doing? They were people that were blind. They were desperate for knowing that God loved them. And they knew that all their best efforts, no matter what they were trying to do, even if they thought they were good enough, they weren't satisfying at a heart level.
Right.
And that's why God sent his son.
Right.
To heal our heart, right?
Right.
That's probably where you got your name, healinghearts.org.
Yeah, that's right. And I think people, you know, people just think, well, he was God and he hung on a cross. So-so, hee-haw, you know, whatever. But, you know, look at what the scripture says. He suffered. Jesus suffered and he died. He was human as much as he was God. So it's not like there was just this God person that hung on a cross. Mm-hmm. This man understands our pain, our suffering, our torment, our humiliation. There's nothing that we have experienced that Jesus Christ himself has not bore on his body. And the most, I think the most shocking thing to me when I learned about the cross was that while Jesus was being ripped apart and while all the sin of the world was being cast upon him, his own father had to look away.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Can you imagine if your son was being emaciated and absolutely, you know, I can't even describe what he went through, that you would have to turn your face from that? You know, I mean, when you look at that sacrifice, how could you not say, give me whatever you got, God?
Well, I think people ask the wrong questions. I think people say, if God is so good, how can bad things happen? I mean, the answer to that is easy. Us.
Right.
That's how. Mm-hmm. Because of our sin. That's the world's biggest problem. The better question is not, if God is so good and so loving, how do bad things happen? The question is, if God is so holy, righteous, and good, how would he allow his own son to endure the suffering, torment, through his own innocence, on my behalf to demonstrate his love for me? How could a God be that loving?
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here. So no matter who you are, where you're at, whether you're driving in your car, whether you're at home, just listening to this radio program somewhere today, you need to know, and God demonstrated his own love for you in this.
Right.
While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you, which means this.
Absolutely.
He wants to take your sin. It's already been taken to the cross. He wants you to repent of your sin, meaning you're going to change your mind for living for yourself. You're going to live for God now.
That's right.
And accept his free gift of grace and trust him that he's a loving God and that he accepts you, that he loves you. And we haven't even talked about this part of the gospel, which is the best part. Jesus rose from the dead. He's victorious over sin. He's conquered it. He destroyed all the works of the devil. And the truth is, everything that people are looking for is a true act of worship. Mm-hmm. And apart from worshiping Jesus Christ, we will fill our worship vacuum with anything.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's what the Bible calls idolatry. We can fill it with music. We can fill it with good things like family. We can fill it with bad things, drugs, sex, alcohol. But the only satisfying one that you can fill your worship with is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we're here to talk about today on the show. As great as the Denver Broncos are, as much as you like the Colorado Rockies, they cannot fill the deepest part of your heart.
That's
only the love of God can through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is Jeff Swarzentraub. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci today. We'd love to talk to you. Our number here is 303-873-1935. Or if you're calling outside the area, the number is 888-277-8946. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff Swarzentraub. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci today. We'd love to talk to you. The number here is 303-873-1935. We're outside the area, 888-277-8946. With two women here in the studio from Healing Hearts, Sue and Camille. And one of the things we've been talking about is as God has healed you from abortion. I mean, we've been talking about the gospel as well in general, just the healing process that God does through sanctification. And one thing is, you know, and in talking to you, it's obvious, and I see it in people, when God has taken you through a healing process and freed you, there's a humility that is coupled with that.
Absolutely.
And so can you talk, because I notice when I'm around people that claim to be free, but I don't feel or experience the humility part, the brokenness part, mm-hmm. there's something that they're not free of. Would you agree with that?
I'd absolutely agree, because it is absolutely humbling that God saved a wretch like me. I mean, seriously. I mean, I look at the fact that we talk about God pursuing you. God pursued me. His love pursued me every day until I bowed the knee. And then he just reached his hand in the sewer and pulled me out. That is a humbling experience. You know, it's a humbling experience to say who I once was.
That's right.
But boy, it is victorious to say who I am now. Mm-hmm. I'm a daughter of the King and I'm free. And that gives other people hope, you know, and I think that's, you're right. I think people, there's an element of pride there that keeps people from truly receiving what God has for them. And healing is humbling.
It is. I mean, I agree. I think we, you know, we have so much pride and, you know, in our fallen sinfulness, our nature is bent on pride. And God says, his word says that he's close to the brokenhearted. And so it's a humbling, you know, when you look at the cross and you see God himself lifted up and brutally murdered for our sins, that's humbling. When I think that he took, you know, my sexual sin, my abortion, everything that I've ever done on himself as if he was the one who had done it, humbling.
Right. You know, we had a men's conference at our church here last weekend, and I told the guys, I love men that lead with a limp. I mean, we mm-hmm. want to, and because when you're around somebody, and I used to feel this way, and I know you guys did too. Well, I'm a Christian. I should have all the answers. I should have had a better story. I should have been right. I should have been. That's a lie of the enemy. I mean, for mm-hmm. years, it's like, well, I could never be a pastor, God. I mean, look at my life. I mean, look at what I've done up until now. I didn't, mm-hmm. I didn't live the perfect life. Like there's this false understanding that to know Christ from the moment I accept him, I'm perfect. And the truth is, in the gospel, I'm accepted in the beloved. I am perfected in Christ. Right. It's as good as done that I'm going to be glorified. Right. But there's this process in between where my behaviors and my lifestyle don't align with my new identity. And that's why I need the word of God. I need right. a mm-hmm. church and a body of people. I need to hear the word being preached so that my heart and my soul get aligned mm-hmm. with right. who I truly am in Christ and the identity I have in him. So can you talk about the identity in Christ and what difference it's made in your life?
You know, we're not supposed to live in our past, but I also believe that we should not forget from where we've come. You know, I mean, the Lord reminds me a lot of, you know, where I've been and where he's taken me. And like, I am a new creature and I'm clothed in the blood of Christ. And when God looks at me, all he sees is the blood of his son. You know, so
for me, you know, my identity as a young woman, I felt like was in relationships. So my boyfriends defined a lot of my identity. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they like cars, I like cars too. Oh, they like this movie, I like that movie too. And now really realizing that God created us with that ability, but it's to find that identity in Christ. So, oh, Jesus loves to give mercy, I should love to give mercy too. Christ loves to serve, oh, I should love to serve too. So it's a whole new identity. It's a better identity than any of the kind of false identity we can build for ourselves.
Well, it's like a glove, right? I mean, a glove was intended for a hand to fit in it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can fill a glove with jelly beans, feathers, nickels, mm-hmm. dimes. But at the end of the day, the glove was designed for a hand.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ was designed for us. And when we fill our hearts with anything but him, we miss out. And that's why I think a lot of Christians need to hear that, hey, if you are a son or daughter of the King, if you are mm-hmm. the beloved, if you are chosen, if you are accepted, if you are holy, how do I live that out? And what does that look like? And how do I grow in that? Because it's not just a step one, two, three. And so right. when we come back to the program, we want to talk about that. We're here with Sue and Camille from HealingHearts.org. The number here at Crosswalk, 303-873-1935. If you're outside the area, it's 888-277-8946. This is Jeff Schwarzentraub. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci here today on Crosswalk. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome back to the program. This is Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub, Senior Pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in today for Gino Geraci, who is in Israel. To call into the show tonight, it's 303-873-1935 or outside the area, 888-277-8946. Have two guests here in the studio with me tonight from healinghearts.org, both Sue and Camille. And just wanted you to talk a little bit about your ministry and where people can go to get these resources and the difference that they can make.
They can go on our website. All of our Bible studies are on our website, and we pair you up with a counselor that has been through that Bible study and been biblically trained to minister to you. And also, there's a drop-down menu on the website that where they can find a Healing Hearts counselor to find out if there's somebody in their local area. We love the e-ministry website because we can minister. We're ministering to people all over the world that can read, write, and speak English. And so we're very excited about that. And we'd love to have them sign on and be ministered to. And it'll be a decision you'll never regret. It'll change your life.
And the website is www.healingheartsplural.org.
Yes.
Healinghearts.org. Yeah, and this doesn't have to be a silent killer, right?
That's right.
I think, you talk about the depression that comes from it, and all sin has consequences.
Absolutely.
We don't get to choose what consequences we get for what sins we have.
Right.
We have to deal with the ones that come. But regardless of the sin, there's hope.
Absolutely.
There's healing. There's help.
Right. Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about the teen study. There's a new teen study out on your website.
Not on the website yet.
It's coming out.
Now, we were talking too because, we live in a day and age where we like to close our eyes and we say, it's probably not that prevalent. But you were telling me a story in the break about some 12-year-olds. Why don't you tell our audience a story?
Yeah, just I work with teenagers all the time. So I hear, unfortunately, some really heartbreaking stories. But even a couple as young as they were both 12, sexually active, and got pregnant and had an abortion. And so sometimes we think, oh, our kids don't really know. Yeah, they do. And we need to be training them from God's word just about what a biblical relationship looks like. Why does God say, that we should wait to have sex until marriage? There's a reason. Every time there's a design, there's a purpose for that design. And God designed sex to be only for marriage. So we need to help our students with that. But our Bible study isn't only addressing sexual purity. It addresses the heart. There's so much about, trying to shape and change behavior. And the Bible says that we're supposed to guard our hearts because it's a wellspring of life. That means whatever's coming into your life is coming out of your heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So some of our teens are really struggling. We have a new Bible study coming out in the fall. It was written for young women. We're praying about and hoping a young men's study will follow because they both need to be ministered to equally in these heart issues. But it's called First Love, Embracing a Love That Lasts. And it's really about putting anything other than Christ as your first love. So, if your peers are your first love as a student, you're probably going to rebel against your parents and sneak around behind their backs. If, partying and pleasure is your first love, you're going to do drugs and alcohol and party with the best of them. If popularity is, the thing, then you're going to sacrifice your body for sports and all these things. Not that those things are in and of themselves, but it's whatever is your first love is what you're going to live for. And we want to help students know and have that vision that Jesus Christ wants to be your first love, and he is the only love that will last and help you to fully embrace him.
Yeah, amen. And you mentioned some interesting things. When we talk about, sexuality, and many times in the church, among Christians, we don't want to talk about sexuality. Now, God's not embarrassed to talk about it. He wrote an entire book called The Song of Solomon all about it. God's not embarrassed. God created sexuality. Mm-hmm, in the book of Genesis, we see his design for it all the way through. So our Lord's not embarrassed to talk about it.
No.
Unfortunately, sometimes the more conservative we are in our theological views, the less prone we are to talk about this. But, when you're talking about 12-year-olds, we're talking fifth and sixth graders engaging in sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be naive to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's G-rated ways that we can communicate truth. There's ways to get the heart. But at the end of the day, we have a world that is hell-bent promoting sex.
Absolutely.
That's not God's way.
Right.
Would you agree that we need to step in the gap and say, hey, this is God's design and this is the beauty and the blessing of doing things God's way?
Oh, absolutely. And not just to sit there and think, oh, well, those are 12-year-old kids and they probably come from a non-Christian background. You know, I work with students that are homeschooled and they're struggling with sexual sin and they don't have any kind of means out there to really voice that and be able to begin to dialogue with their parents. So this study was written to be able to either, you know, for a youth leader to take a small group of girls through it, you know, 4 or 5 girls at a time, or even a parent. I mean, I love it. We're doing a pilot group right now. It's 4 daughters and 4 moms, and I'm one of them with my own 14-year-old daughter. And we just love it because we're being able to take them through those heart struggles, not, like I said, not just sexual sin, but, you know, media influence and drug and alcohol. How does a student who's dealing with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts, self-injury, eating disorders, and then even, you know, going on in that discipleship and saying, you know, once God's healed your heart in these areas, how do you live out this love that he's given you to others? Because the greatest command is to love God and love others.
That's right. And, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, one thing I love about discipleship's messy.
That's right.
It's not clean.
Nope. No,
I mean, to teach the Bible is clean. To disciples, messy, because you're involving in people's lives. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Camille, is just the idea of discipleship is not behavioral modification.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we talk about sexuality, it's not don't. Now you're married. Do. We're talking about at a heart level, how do you worship God in your life? I mean,
right.
how is your sexuality sanctified?
Right.
I mean, because lack of experience is not innocence, and innocence is not purity.
Right.
Purity, pure heart is from the Lord.
That's right.
And we have to have a redeemed heart. We need the blood of Christ. We need his death. We need his resurrection in our life in order to experience that. And that's
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing you guys say in terms Absolutely. Of discipleship. That's what it's about. It's people. It's the word.
Right.
It's coming together. It's being real. It's being vulnerable.
Absolutely.
It's getting after it. And being able to speak these things and being able to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the word I keep when I talk to you guys and Sue, when we talked on the phone, I mean, and I told my wife, I'm like, this is going to be a good program. One thing I can tell, and I know our listeners can hear it today, authentic.
Yes.
It's real. Let's
yeah,
quit
real.
Being fake and phony.
Our God is real.
Let's quit putting our masks on and quit
That's
pretending
right.
everything's great. When you go to church and saying, oh, it's so awesome, it's great, when deep down our heart is breaking and we're hurting or
Absolutely.
We're prideful. So glad you're on the program today. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Pastor Jeff. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci today on Crosswalk. And we'll be right back after a few messages. Welcome back to Crosswalk. This is Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci. And what a great day. Camille, Sue, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
It's been incredible. We've been talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he can set us free. Even from the sin of abortion, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, do you have any closing comments, either of you, just for our listeners today as they've been hearing things that you would say to some of the people that have been listening as they've been listening to our program here the last couple hours?
I just want to say just reach out and get help. Reach out and be real. Take the mask off, throw it away, and say, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life and have your way. Let's just be real. And God loves you and he wants to heal you and he died for you. And that's where it's all at.
Yeah. You know, he is our only hope. And, you know, our world is broken. And a lot of families are suffering through that. And we've seen those. We've seen friends in the body and family members dealing with just things that are hard. And, you know, we put our hope in, you know, economy turning around or this or that. You know, our only hope is really in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's our heart that has a hard time dealing with the fallen world and our own fallen nature. And only Christ, he's the only way, that he's the truth, he's the life to give us hope and healing.
Yeah, I could have said it better myself. You know, Jesus is for all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's for the wayward. He's for the willfully disobedient.
Absolutely.
He's for those of you that were listening today that say, I never, ever thought my life could get this bad. I never thought I'd end up here. I don't know how to get out of the hole that I'm in. He's also for those that say, you know what, I think I'm too good, and I think I can figure this whole thing out. And God would say, no, listen, I'm perfect. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm true. You're not going to make it. And so at the cross, what we see is the perfect justice. We see the perfect love of God that reached down to say, hey, listen, you don't have to stay in your sin. And Sue, when you were talking today, you said you created your own prison. I mean, it was as real as if you could see through the bars.
Yeah, I built it with my own hands. 10 years of total life destruction.
And for those of you that are listening today that are saying, you know, that's my life. I'm desperate. I'm reaching out for anything. I'm reaching out for friends. It's not in my friends. It's not in my party. And it's not in my business. It's not in my success. It's not in my money. My family doesn't seem to fill me anymore. It's not this. Let me tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for the person and the God of Jesus Christ who came to set you free.
Okay.
Find a life-giving church. Go sit under the word. Get plugged into a small group with life-giving people and grow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jeff Schwarzentraub, Senior Pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, filling in for Gino Geraci today on Crosswalk. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Take care and God bless.